He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Okay, so, ready.
I'm on the South Island's west coast, standing in a field of a deer farm that backs onto the bush. And Olivia Peter-Slim is showing me the three readings from a final stomp test of a newly fitted seismic sensor.
So there are like these three spikes. Yeah. These are the three masses on the three different directions. And we can see the steps on the three channels, which is good. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. And the sensor is working good. Everything great. Looks great. So,
success. Kia ora and welcome to Our Changing World. Ko Clerkin Canon Tene. Today we join a team from Victoria University of Wellington as they install a seismic sensor on the Alpine Fault. This is just one of a planned 55 sensors to be installed as part of the Southern Alps Long Skinny Array. Dubbed SALSA, this is a series of seismic sensors that will be about 10 kilometres apart and placed on the fault line between Maruia to Milford Sound. The overall aim is to listen in on the background hum of this fault to better understand what a slip on any point will mean in terms of ground shaking further afield. The Alpine Fault is the on-land boundary of the Pacific and Australian plates, a fault line that runs for over 600 kilometres, where these plates rub against each other as the Australian plate moves northeast and the Pacific plate slides southwest. Underground, the Pacific plate rides up over the Australian plate and ruptures an uplift across time has formed the Southern Alps. And that is why the team and I are in a rubbly backfield near Fatharoa, not too far off State Highway 6, looking up at steep bush-clad mountains.
So nearby here, the mountains begin. We go from relatively flat land to the mountains. And that contact between that flat land and the mountains is the fault. Mm. So, yeah, the east of here is being pushed up relative to where we're stood now. It's actually a lot more obvious in satellite photos. You can really see it very, very clearly through here.
So we're standing on the Australian plate then?
Yeah, essentially.
This is Dr. Finn Isley-Kemp.
So I'm Finn. I'm a postdoc at Victoria University. I'm a seismologist. Most of the time I work on volcanoes in the central North Island, like Taupo. But I'm here with the SALSA crew helping them out with the installation.
The full SALSA crew includes 11 people. And they're out and about for 2.5 weeks trying to fit as many sensors as possible. On this day, two teams of four have been dispatched to fit a sensor in two different locations, while the remaining three people have travelled to Franz Josef. And there they're going to talk to the helicopter companies that will help them in the next phase to reach the more challenging locations. The team that I visited is made up of PhD student Olivia, postdoctoral researcher Finn, Ash Matheson, who's just about to start her master's in geophysics, and the project co-leader, Professor John Townend, who explains to me how it's going to work.
So we'll carry all our gear up. We'll start digging the holes and building the fence and building the solar panel setup. And once that's underway, then we'll start connecting some of the more electronic bits. And if all goes according to plan, we'll take 3 or maybe 4 hours, but just depends how easy it is to dig the hole, which is often the really challenging bit. Yeah, there's a lot of muscle and there's a lot of stones around here, as you'll see. So why don't we carry our gear up? Well, maybe, Finn, if you want to take the lead and we'll find a spot and then...
After a quick recce, they settle on a spot and the team get to work. Finn and John start on digging the hole that the sensor will go in, while Ash and Olivia start setting up the solar panel. I've seen a simple seismometer before. It looks like a slinky or a spring with a magnet on the bottom, set up to move through a coil of wire when the earth, and therefore the slinky, moved. And as the magnet moves through the coil of wire, it creates a current. Measuring the strength of this current then tells you how much the earth has moved. For these sensors, it's the same basic principle, says John.
These sensors are a bit more sophisticated than that, but basically, fundamentally, that's what they are. They have systems for measuring the voltage very precisely that's coming out. So unlike in the past where you might have you know, had a revolving paper drum and a stylus making a scribble on it. Now we are simply measuring a voltage, and there are electronics in there that provide the damping so that when you shake it with a seismic wave, it records the ground motion. Well, it records the motion of the magnet, which we convert into ground motion, but it doesn't just keep on oscillating upwards and downwards forever. So it's like shock absorbers on a car. You need it to record the motion and then damp it out. And so that's provided by the electronics and so on. There are other sorts of sensors for different purposes, but these ones are called broadband because they record a very broad range of frequencies.
This capacity of these sensors to pick up many frequencies is key for what John and the team want to do.
When this system is all up and running, we'll be focusing in this study on a couple of things. One of them is basically just the background hum provided by the Earth. So if you were to listen with a seismometer to the noise in the Earth, you'd discover that there's quite a lot of noise that's generated basically by ocean waves, of various types of waves hitting the coastline and interacting with the continental shelf and so on. And that generates this sort of incoherent noise in the Earth. And one of the things we're trying to do is to record that noise. If you were to just look at it, you'd say, well, that's just noise. But actually, by comparing the records from one seismometer and another, we can extract the coherent bits. And that enables us to do some really interesting things to understand how waves are propagating between those two different points. If we have a seismometer over there and a seismometer 10 kilometres away, we record the noise, and using a mathematical process, we extract the coherent signals going between them. Now, what we could do is take the data from this seismometer and the data, let's say, from Christchurch, and do the same thing. And that tells us about the propagation of waves from this spot to Christchurch. So in this project, what we're doing is we're installing seismometers every 10 kilometres along the whole Alpine Fault, and then we'll, let's say, take Christchurch or Dunedin or wherever you like, and we'll establish what slip on the fault at any particular point would generate in terms of seismic waves in Christchurch. Because a big earthquake is a whole series of points on the fault slipping one after the other. So in this process, we are working out the relationship between slip on any one point and the waves that you would feel further afield. And that's one of the things we're trying to do. It's called ambient noise analysis, and it's a very powerful technique for extracting information about the Earth without having to wait around for earthquakes.
When I asked about being able to see the ground motion move along the sensor array, John is quick to point out that this is not a warning system. They won't be getting this information in real time. The plan is that these sensors will be in place for a total of 18 months. And every 6 months, the team will return to check on the sensors, extract the data, and start to run analysis on it. These are, of course, not the only sensors along the Alpine Fault. GeoNet have a network of sensors in the area that do collect live data. And there is already an existing Victoria University of Wellington network here, which researchers have been using to look at how the fault behaves differently in different areas along its length. What is distinctive about this new SALSA string of sensors is that capacity to detect the lower frequencies and the sensor's alignment along the fault.
The sort of breakthrough was realising that when you're recording seismic data like this for 18 months, most of what will go into that data log is not records of earthquakes. It's mostly this noise field. And so recognising that we could extract useful information from it was really quite exciting. And so in the last 10 or 15 years, people have been, you know, taking noise records from all sorts of different configurations, different parts of the world, different separations, and extracting useful information either about, as we're doing here, about the propagation of big earthquakes, or about the structure of the Earth. And so all that is information that previously we would have tried to either not record or tried to remove in order to study the less frequent little earthquakes or big earthquakes.
But first they have to install the array, one sensor at a time. With the hole dug, Finn is preparing a box with the electrical components that will sit under the solar panel.
So we have the digitizer, which is kind of the hub for everything. So everything connects to that, including the power, which obviously comes from the solar panel into the battery. And then this is just a power regulator here. So then this digitizer, then we connect it to the sensor ultimately. So it receives the data. And then this is called a baler. And this is essentially a 20-year-old USB stick. So it's a huge, big hard drive that the data logger is constantly sending the data to. And so when we come back in 6 months' time, that's the thing that will have all our data and we'll download, we'll actually swap it out for another one and then download that data, and that's what we're actually interested in.
Now that the sensor is in the hole, correctly orientated, perfectly level, Olivia has been tasked with connecting it and then releasing the sensor to see whether the masses are correctly calibrated.
So we connected the sensor, checked that the masses are leveled. We also checked that the recorder was getting data from the digitalizer. We did a small stump test, which was just doing like,
stamping on the ground next to the...
Yeah, stamping on the ground next to the sensor. And we were able to see these stumps on the three channels of the sensor. And once we checked everything was working perfectly, we are now filling the hole. And yeah, that will be it for today. We will pick up like all the tools that we have lying around, and we'll come back in 6 months.
For 2 weeks after my visit, the team went out every day and continued to deploy sensors. In the end, they fitted 31 new SALSA sites and serviced 20 existing sites. They'll be back in 6 months to collect the data that they hope will allow them to listen in to the hum of the Alpine Fault. Thanks to Professor John Townend, Olivia Peter-Slim, Ash Matheson and Dr. Finn Isley-Kemp. All from the School of Geography, Environment and Earth Science at Te Here Na Waka, Victoria University of Wellington. This episode was produced by me, Claire Kincannon. Sound engineering was by William Saunders. Thanks to Liz Garten for her editing help with this episode. Tim Watkin is executive producer of podcasts and series. You can follow the Our Changing World podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And check out the show's website at rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. I'll share some pictures from the seismic sensor installation and some links to find out more. You'll also be able to listen to our extensive back catalogue of episodes there, including exploring our earthquake episode collection. And if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Facebook or Twitter at rnzscience. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Claire Kincannon. Kia pai, tō wiki.